Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Today I have with me British author and activist Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi Patrick, it's a pleasure to be back again.
Well, a lot has been going on in Britain since we last spoke. Most recently, there was that horrific bombing in Manchester at the Ariana Grande concert. And you can say what you want about letting your children go to an Ariana Grande concert, but none of that would justify the targeting of a predominantly young female audience by this man. And in the press, they say, well, he was British born, so it's homegrown terrorism. But of course, he is the son of immigrants. And this kind of goes to show that even if you were to say that, well, immigrants themselves, they come for legitimate reasons, well, their own children who are born in England or born in France aren't becoming British, they aren't becoming French, they have some weird chip on their shoulder and take it out in the most horrific ways. So how do you see this act of terrorism? How does it fit into the overall massive demographic change that we see going on in Britain? And, you know, what does it say for the future?
Well, it's very interesting, really, because as you so rightly said, this terrorist attack was aimed squarely at young girls. And when we say young girls, we're talking girls of teenage years or younger. I mean, many of the girls were young enough to have attended the concert with their parents. They were there with their mums, their dads. You know, it was, for some, it will have been a family night out. So this attack is one which was without any decency. Now, no terrorist attacks are decent, but we have to remember this wasn't aimed at a place of cultural or historical significance. It wasn't at a military or government target. This was aimed squarely at young white girls of teenage years or younger. And that's very interesting, because on one hand, it does show that these people have no scruples whatsoever. It goes to show that they don't have any decency. They will target literally anyone wherever they are. No one is safe. But interestingly, it does dovetail with the grooming scandal. We've seen in Britain the grooming of young girls by Muslims. We've seen the huge number of sexual attacks on white women all over Europe by Muslim immigrants. And here again, Muslim immigrants can be seen targeting white females. And there is a pattern here in that these people are targeting our women on an unprecedented scale, whether that be drugging them, plying them with alcohol so they can pimp them out and sexually abuse them, whether that be murdering them, as this suicide bomber did, or whether that be sexually assaulting them, as we saw in places like Cologne, where over 1,000 women were sexually assaulted in one evening alone. This is a huge assault on white Western women. And something else that you touched upon, which I really do want to bring up here, is this all shines a light on the lie of integration. Because the newspapers, the left-wing press, the media, they are so eager to point out, oh, he's not an immigrant, he's not an immigrant, he was British born and bred. Well, that's completely disingenuous. The way they're talking about him, as if he was as Anglo-Saxon as King Harold himself. Well, what a nonsense. He clearly wasn't. He was of immigrant stock, and recent immigrant stock. I believe he came from Libya originally, or his family did. But it does show the lie of integration, because we're always told, oh, these people will come here, they'll start to live by our laws, they'll learn to adapt, they'll take on our culture. Pretty soon, once we put them in a suit, shirt and tie and give them a briefcase and send them off to work in the bank, they'll be just the same as us. Well, that's not what's happening. We can see this. There's a huge number of these terrorists are not just recent immigrants, but second or third generation immigrants, which shows that these people still harbour anti-Western resentment generations after their family have come here, which is hugely problematic. And what adds to that problem is the demographic change we're undergoing. A third of children in English primary schools are non-white. They're not of European descent. And that's a huge problem, because if we're experiencing this terrorism now, when these people are a quote-unquote minority, what's it going to be like in 15 years? Because in 15 years, a third of 20-year-olds in England will be non-white. Well, it'll be worse than that, obviously, because you've got continued immigration as well. But what will the primary schools look like in 15 years? Will it be 50%? Will it be 60% non-white? And this isn't just a problem for Britain. This is a problem for Europe as a whole. Because what you've got to remember is these figures are mirrored in countries like France and Germany. In Germany, it's 40% of primary school children who are non-white. Now, I couldn't find the exact statistics for France, but
because
when I looked
at the
demographic changes there, it was somewhere between 39% and 42%.
Yeah, the French government
primary school children
makes it difficult to collect such statistics. I mean, it's their policy to not allow that type of like racially defined statistics.
Yeah, and when you look at it, this is a problem that is mirrored across Western and Northern Europe. I mean, the same will be true in places like Sweden. I mean, I've seen photo after photo of classes of children in Sweden, and they are becoming progressively darker and darker and darker. It was only the other year I went for a day out at the National Space Centre in Leicester, and as I walked around, I saw classes of children on school days out, and some of these classes were completely non-white, and that is extremely worrying, because as I said, if these terrorist atrocities, if this grooming scandal, if these sexual assaults, and all the other problems that these people have brought to the West with them are such huge problems now, how big are those problems going to be in 15, 20, 30 years' time? These problems will be magnified, and what will make things even worse is these people are increasingly getting into positions of power. They are using their collective block votes to influence the government, to swing elections, and they are getting a level of political power in Europe which allows them to manipulate the political system to their own ends. And as we've already seen in Britain, when they get that power, it is used to cover up many of these crimes. And we've seen the police, we've seen the local government, we've seen the press be complicit in covering up many of these Muslim grooming sexual scandals.
Mm. In America, there's a black comedian named Kanau Bell. I think that's how he says his name. He's on CNN. He has a program. It's much promoted on CNN. He does a little bit of stand-up comedy, and then mixed into that are his reportages from the field. And he goes out and tries to find examples of multiculturalism or white racism. He went to Harrison, Arkansas, and went to visit a local KKK chapter for a cross-burning. And, of course, he's making all of these quips about being the first black man to have gone to a cross-burning and lived to tell about it. And during one of his stand-up routines, he said, you know what's a four-letter word? Assimilation. These people, they're coming from cultures that have been around for thousands of years. They've stood the test of times. Why should they change? Now, of course, even before multiculturalism, the mantra originally was, oh, people will come here, it's a melting pot, they'll become Americans. They were seeking the American dreams. They just want to be Americans. And then with multiculturalism, well, they can retain some of their own culture as they mix in. But now it's like, no, they can come here and completely reject the culture. What do they have to gain from our culture? They have better cultures. Well, then why would they want to come here in the first place? You can comment on that, but I also had a question. Obviously, there's a lot of Muslim immigration into Europe in general, Britain in particular, but Britain has a lot of non-Muslim Indian immigration, and I was wondering if the Hindu Indians are less problematic than the Muslims, and how they feel regarding the Muslims, and how they feel towards the native Europeans.
Well, that's a very interesting question. And talking about the assimilation, that's something we've seen here in Britain. Originally, we were told that these people were going to come here, they were going to assimilate, they were going to take on our ways, adapt to our culture, they were going to learn the language, and it was almost going to be the old adage, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. However, in time, we've seen that change. You see, this was originally sold not on the basis of multiculturalism. It was more sold on the basis of multiracialism. And that was that people of other races would come here and they would become British. They would adopt our culture. They would adapt to our way of life. And we would have a multiracial society. However, that has now morphed into a multicultural society where, in fact, increasingly, British people, as you know, it's the same with Europeans all over Europe, are having to bend to the cultures of people who have recently arrived. And I can't remember the exact quote, but I think it was David Cameron, former British Prime Minister, who said this. He came out with a very telling comment, something along the lines of, the more he looks at the Muslim community in Britain, the more he believes that it's not Muslims who should change to adapt to British culture, but British culture is the thing that needs to change and become more accepting and more welcoming to Muslims. So you've got the Prime Minister essentially saying that he thinks it's Britain that should change to accommodate those coming in, not those coming in who should accommodate to fit in Britain. And that's how really the whole multiracial society has become a multicultural society. And then eventually it goes from being multiculturalism in inverted commas, where everyone's meant to be able to retain their own culture, to almost a form of cultural supremacy, where the invaders and the recent arrivals get to keep their culture, but the native people have to give up theirs. So now you see mosques in certain areas of towns and cities in Britain, where you have these wailing towers, where Muslims go to the top of the wailing tower and cry out at all times of the day or night for Muslims to come to prayer. Well, can you imagine living on a street? You're a regular white folk, you know, you've got a wife, you've got two, three children, the kids need to be up for school, you need to be up for work, and on the end of your street is one of these mosques where there's a Muslim at the top of a tower at 4:45 in the morning wailing for morning prayers. That's absolutely unacceptable. But that's increasingly a situation you see in Britain. And you can see this at every step of the way from how these people come here. Because if these people can't articulate their needs and wants, we pay for an interpreter. So if these people come here to claim benefits, to claim a house, to claim medical care, and they can't articulate what they actually want, we don't just say, well, sorry, mate, you can't even speak the language, so it's the next boat home for you. No, that's not what happens. They get taken to a nice room, they get given a cup of coffee, they get to sit there and watch television, then an interpreter gets brought in and he gets paid, you know, an extortionate sum per hour, and he gets to find out what they really need and what they really want. So you've got a system that's tailored to bending over backwards to help these people. And the real bitter sting in the tail is it's the white Britons who are overwhelmingly the ones who are actually paying for this with their tax money. And when these people do come here, the government has just gone through, I did a podcast about this, just an aside, I did a podcast about this the other day, which is on my YouTube channel, feel free to look it up.
Please do look, I heard it, it's excellent, so I highly recommend it.
The Muslim benefits one, where we've actually changed our welfare benefits system. You see, in Britain, if you want to claim welfare benefits, you can't quit your job. If you quit your job, if you walk out of paid employment, you can't claim benefits for up to 26 weeks. So that's half a year. So essentially, that's to incentivize people to stay in paid employment and not to claim benefits. However, they've changed the law. And the law has been changed to help Muslims. So if a Muslim's working in a company and he has to sit next to a woman or he has to work in the same space as a woman and he doesn't want to, he can quit his job, go straight down the benefits office and say, I want to claim welfare benefits now. I don't want to work with a woman. It's against my religious convictions. It offends me. And straight away, he's on benefits. So what's the result of that? Well, the Daily Telegraph reported that 50% of Muslim men are on benefits, 75% of Muslim females are on benefits. So essentially, the British public, the working British public, are paying Muslims to sit at home and have children. So you've got this massive population explosion, which takes us back to what we said earlier, 33% of children in English schools, English primary schools, are non-white. And largely speaking, they are Muslims. The huge population growth in Britain is Islamic. And just to touch on what you said about Indians, the Indians who have come here are far more amenable to the British way of life. They're far easier to get on with. They've adapted far better. And don't for a minute think I want to be flooded with people from India. I don't. But a small number of Indian immigrants wouldn't create anywhere like the number of problems that Islamic immigration's caused. And what's more, the Indians I've met tend to have sort of regular-sized families, whereas another huge problem with Islam is whilst the government is bending over backwards to adopt every part of Sharia law, Islamic law, into British law, one thing that they won't recognise is Islamic marriage. So many of these Muslims, they have multiple wives, but they're never charged for bigamy, they're never prosecuted for having multiple wives, because they're multiple wives via Islamic marriage, which is governed in Sharia courts by their own communities. But the other major sting in the tail with these multiple wives is because the British government doesn't acknowledge these extra wives as legal entities. They're all classed as unattached mothers, which means, of course, they all get their own houses, they all get greater bite of the benefits cherry. So you have a Muslim man with two, three wives, and his extra wives get single mother's allowance. They get their own houses, which he can then rent out or do as he wishes with. And really, the whole benefits system, the whole welfare system in Britain has now almost been completely tailored to pay a handsome living wage to Muslims who want to stay at home, have massive families, and milk our welfare system.
And in your podcast, you also talked about crime statistics or incarceration statistics. So currently, Muslims make up, is it still only less than 10% of the population? Total population?
Yeah, Muslims still apparently only make up less than 10% of the population, and they're vastly overrepresented in the prison population.
Yeah, and the thing is, if they're 10% or so of the total population, yet 20 or 30% of the school population, it means their population is skewed to the very young, meaning they have relatively few adults. So in terms of adults, they must then be much less than 10% or whatever of the population. Yet, they are what percentage of the prison population?
Well, here's the interesting thing. It's not just the percentage that matters. It's the percentage of serious offenders.
Mm-hmm.
So the total prison population in Britain, the serious offenders, we're not talking people who have just walked into a shop and snatched a can of Coca-Cola or grabbed the bag of potato chips and run out. We're talking serious offenders, which would, I believe in America, that would be a felony offence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the percentage of Muslims who are in prison amongst the serious offenders now numbers at between 35 and 39% of the prison population. So when you look at those figures, you can see that not only are they costing us huge amounts of money when it comes to the welfare benefits system, they're also costing us huge amounts of money when it comes to looking after them in prison, which represents another very interesting problem. Because these Muslims in our prison population, they then work amongst other prisoners to convert them to Islam and to radicalize them. And once you have a prison population, and bear in mind, these are serious offenders, these are serious criminals, they are people who are locked up for armed offenses.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
For violent offenses, for breaking into people's homes, for robbing banks, potentially for murder or sexual offenses. And these type of people are being radicalized. They are being converted to Islam. They are exactly the kind of people who, once they have been radicalized, would be susceptible to the kind of insanity that we saw in Manchester just a few weeks ago, where a suicide bomber blew up the Ariana Grande concert. These are exactly the kind of people that Muslim extremists seek to reach out to radicalize and turn into terrorists. And that is a huge problem. And that's something, again, that hasn't just been seen in Britain, but is mirrored all over Europe.
Now, the situation you're describing, and I think the situation that people in America see before their eyes, people in the European countries, in Australia, Canada, I mean, it's completely insane. And yet you have an election coming up in 6 days, and is there anyone to vote for? Is there any discussion of these real fundamental existential issues?
No. No, there isn't. And that's a big worry. I often describe British politics as being like, as an analogy, as being sat, as the public are being sat in the back seat of the car. And in the front, they can choose who the driver is. Now, it doesn't matter which driver you choose, because the car's headed towards the edge of the cliff. And sooner or later, it's going to go over the edge of the cliff, and we're all going to end up smashed on the rocks below. The only difference between the different drivers is who's going to put their foot on the accelerator the most. Who's going to drive the car the fastest? So essentially, with the choice we've got, we're deciding whether we should go 40 miles an hour or 70 miles an hour. And ultimately, the only difference is we're prolonging our own demise by trying to pick a political party that will take us to our doom slightly slower than the other political parties. I hope that makes sense. And the big choice this time is between Theresa May, the Conservative incumbent, she's currently the Prime Minister, and Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour Party, the leader of the opposition, leader of the Labour Party. Now, Theresa May is completely two-faced. She's trying to position herself as the heroine of Brexit, the woman who's going to bring back Britain's independence. And essentially, she is a liar because she didn't campaign for Brexit. She campaigned for the Remainers. There's pictures, you can see again a podcast on my YouTube channel called The Truth About Theresa May. There's pictures in that of her holding up Remain placards. She gave a speech to Goldman Sachs bankers telling them how she was against leaving the EU, how leaving the EU would be terrible for Britain. She was sucking up to them. But now she wants to be the woman who's remembered as the heroine of the independence movement, which she's not. She's also talking tough on immigration, saying it needs to be reduced, just tens of thousands. Well, last year she was Home Secretary. As Home Secretary, she let in 650,000 immigrants in a single year. Put that into perspective for everyone out there. The last time England was invaded was 1066. And between 1066 and 1939, which was the outbreak of the Second World War, England took in less immigrants in that almost 1,000 years than we took in a single year when Theresa May was Home Secretary. And the final nail in her political coffin, as far as I'm concerned, is she's the one trying to take away our rights. She's the lady who wants the snoopers charter, so all the mobile phone companies get to keep your data for a year, so if the police want to prosecute you, essentially you're being spied upon every step of the way. If you send a text message to your mum saying, I'll be home after the gym at 6:30, put me a pizza in the oven, that's on file for a year in case the police need it. She's also bringing in new anti-Semitism laws. And just the other week, she gave a speech where she said she wants to bring in huge sweeping changes to regulate the internet so Britain will be the world leader in data control. Well, that's absolutely sickening. But then who have we got on the other hand? Because surely nothing could be worse than that. Well, on the other hand, you've got Jeremy Corbyn. Jeremy Corbyn's a naked communist. He goes to speak at meetings and events under the hammer and sickle flag. His heroes are people like Leon Trotsky. In fact, he put an early day motion before Parliament to rehabilitate Leon Trotsky, where he called for the British government to put pressure on Russia to formally recognise the contributions and achievements of Leon Trotsky and other Russian revolutionaries. So you can see where his bread's buttered. He praises people like Hugo Chavez. He claims that there was an economic miracle in Venezuela. He talks about Hugo Chavez being a friend of the poor. Well, really, Hugo Chavez has made his people poor. He's not a friend of the poor. He's the architect of poverty. That's how insane this is. He praised people like Fidel Castro, saying he was a champion of social justice. Well, at conservative estimates, Fidel Castro murdered around 40,000 people.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Less conservative estimates, he murdered around 130,000 people. Jeremy Corbyn has been a supporter of the IRA. He refused to condemn IRA terrorists. He refuses to claim that the Falkland Islands are British. In fact, he wants to reach a power-sharing agreement, and he's spoken disparagingly of British troops who fought to free the Falkland Islands from Argentinian rule. So you can see here, he's anti-British, he's a naked communist, he supports regimes that have led to, over the last 100 years, have led to more than 120 million, and that's a very conservative estimate, 120 million people being killed globally through gulags, death squads and forced famines, and he's openly a supporter of these people. Now let's put this into a little bit of perspective here, folks. I mean, if you had someone like, let's say Theresa May went and stood in front of a swastika and gave a speech, that would be it. She'd be done. There'd be no coming back. Her career would be completely finished. In fact, any politician that spoke in front of any symbol associated with fascism would be ruined. Well, let's for a minute take the established historical figure of 6 million. If you take that as fact, let's look at this. 6 million and... for the purpose of this, let's say we're taking that as a fact. Then we'll look at the number communists killed, a conservative estimate, 120 million. Well, communists or communism killed, at conservative estimates, 20 times the number of Jews that were alleged to have been killed in the Holocaust. Yet Jeremy Corbyn can stand in front of a communist flag and people cheer him, and he walks down the street. People don't challenge him over this. It's not brought up because obviously it's completely kosher to do that. So on one hand, you've got this two-faced, lying woman who wants to essentially use terrorism to bring in a police state, snoop on her private communications and control the internet. On the other hand, you've got a naked communist who essentially looks up to and praises the greatest mass murderers in history. So really, Patrick, who are you going to vote for? Because no one else has got a chance of winning.
Well, I have to admit, when Hugo Chavez was alive and George Bush was president, and Hugo Chavez went to the United Nations and spoke at the same podium that Bush had just been at and said that he could still smell the sulfur and crossed himself, I have to admit I got a big kick out of that. And, the Cubans and the Venezuelans, they can have whoever leader they want as far as I'm concerned. I know Castro did get very involved in international politics during the Cold War, not necessarily always with the best results. So there's certainly legitimate criticism of them. But what I wanted to ask about is, here in the United States, we elected Donald Trump for president, and I was a vocal supporter. And I don't know if we've really gotten Donald Trump as president. I wasn't surprised when Trump won. I thought he was going to win. And I never thought he was going to be able or willing to carry out all of his various promises. But I've been, I guess, is surprised the right word, that he has been as ineffectual as he is. He was elected president, but he has not been allowed to rule for, whatever he was really planning on doing. Maybe we don't know. But you have this largely Jewish configuration of powers in the media, in the bureaucracy, in finance, in the legal system, not entirely Jewish, and then also a largely non-Jewish element in the military, maybe the intelligence services, who are preventing him from being able to rule at all, to get any kind of government going. I don't know how effective he would be anyway. But one thing we did get out of that election, though, was some of the important issues started to actually get talked about and expectations were raised. Now, last summer, you had the Brexit vote, and I know that you were a vocal supporter of the exit vote, and you all won, and we'll see what's going to happen. Is Brexit going to go the way of the Trump administration so far, in that the people's will is going to be basically overruled by some configuration of powers? Is there going to be any effective exit from the EU? And also the issues with, and I think immigration was the prime issue in the vote. Did the discussion of immigration in the context of the Brexit vote let a genie out of a bottle? Or is it going to be stuffed back into the bottle and things are going to just go back to business as usual?
Well, firstly, I'll address what you said about Donald Trump. I think the important thing to remember with Donald Trump is he's out of his depth. He's not a politician, he's a businessman. And in business, anyone who's worked in business will attest to this, a lot of business is about making deals. It's about compromising. It's about finding the right balance between two or more parties. And ultimately, I think Donald Trump has approached being president like a businessman. That's been a huge mistake because he's approached people who are his fundamental enemies, i.e. the left, and he has believed rather naively that if he makes some form of compromise with these people, if he does a deal, if he gives them a bit of their way on certain things, they'll give him a bit of his way on others. And that's his great failing because he doesn't understand the left. You see, the left will never give you a little bit of your way, regardless of what you give them. You can make a dozen concessions to the left. You can give them what they want on gay rights. You can give them what they want on schooling. You can give them what they want on healthcare. You can give them what they want on benefits. benefits or benefit reform. But then if you say to them, can I have a bit of what I want on immigration or on restrictions to immigration or the border wall? They'll just say no. Because all the left do is relentlessly push for what they want. And that's been the biggest downfall of the conservative movement. The conservative movement has always compromised, has always taken a defensive stance, whereas the left have always taken a very attacking stance and constantly marched forward relentlessly and pushed and pushed and pushed until they've got their own way. And Trump's made several concessions to people he shouldn't have made concessions to. And unfortunately, that poses a huge problem because they're not going to give him any concessions, and that's why he's not achieving what he wants. He doesn't need to do deals. He doesn't need to give these people concessions. What he needs to do is steamroller forward like they do and push forward his agenda relentlessly, and regardless of how much they squeal, regardless of how much they scream and squawk, he needs to put his headphones on and just plow forward. And if he has to, he needs to jump on the MAGA steamroller and just plow through these people, metaphorically speaking, and just push forward his policy. Because you can't do deals with these people. You can never do deals with these people. And that's why the left have constantly advanced and why every conservative movement the world over has constantly been pushed back. Because they haven't been aggressive. And Trump, during his election campaign, the thing that impressed me most personally was he was constantly aggressive. He never backed down. He always reinforced his point. He doubled down if he knew he was right. And now he's doing none of that. And he is letting down the people who voted for him. If he's not careful, he's going to alienate himself from those people completely. And as I see it, I can't see him getting a second term.
Let me jump in before you move on to the Brexit part of the question. In the context of the United States, what is left and what is right is getting hard to distinguish. And so you're talking about the left. If you were to define the left as, say, the Democratic Party or the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, these people going out with their pussy hats or Nancy Pelosi, they are not showing any willingness to negotiate or have any kind of deals. And I don't see Trump making concessions directly to them, other than having just taken a lot of things off the table. Like, for instance, gay marriage, he took that completely off the table. And that could be viewed as a concession to the left. I think his concessions are, well, certainly to neoconservatives, and also to certain traditional conservatives, like you were mentioning, who have already made concessions to what you might call the left. And so in that way, it's kind of indirectly concessions to the left. But a lot of his programs that he is pushing, whether it's withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accord, that's not something that would be viewed as a concession to the left. But he's certainly been very ineffective. And on Obamacare, which even though the left doesn't understand it, but that's something that they want to defend, maybe he's making a concession to them by not putting forward a viable alternative and instead going with the completely unviable proposals put out by the House Republicans led by Speaker Ryan, which aren't going to pass. The left-right thing in the United States is getting a little bit problematic. That's what I was getting to. But
he certainly made concessions to the neocons with what he's done in Syria.
That for sure. And the neocons are aligned with the left now, even though...
to a large degree.
And do have their roots in Trotskyism. But, yeah, there's kind of an alliance between them and the Clinton-type people, and the left, as represented by the Democrats in Congress, have completely gone along with the neocon agenda in foreign policy.
No, of course. And that's really largely what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And to tie this into Brexit, I think there will be... I've done numerous podcasts about Brexit. I've done a couple called The Great Brexit Betrayal. And from the beginning I've said there will be a betrayal of Brexit. We won't get what we voted for. Now, whether that means Brexit won't go through, I don't know. They will probably give us some form of Brexit. We'll call it Brexit Lite. And what Brexit Lite will be is we'll be told we're leaving the European Union, We no longer have representatives in the European Parliament. Europe will have slightly less legislative powers over Britain, and British law will again supersede European law. However, I think we'll still stay members of the European Court of Human Rights. We'll still stay signed up to that. I think they will still have us in the single market, and as an agreement to be in the single market, we'll have to accept 100% freedom of movement for people who are European citizens. And because of that, we will be virtually in exactly the same place we were at before, just without representatives in the European Parliament. And really, that will be a result for the internationalists. It won't be a result for the British people, and it will represent a huge betrayal of the majority of people in Britain who, of course, voted for Brexit. And that, to me, it's very annoying, but it's something I have predicted from almost day one after the vote was won. Because you have to remember that David Cameron, the Prime Minister at the time, made the promise that he would enact the will of the people, and he didn't. The morning the vote was delivered, he resigned as Prime Minister, and he reneged on his promise. He said he was going to deliver on the vote, which would have meant triggering Article 50 straight away as the people had instructed him. He didn't. He resigned, he stepped down, that triggered a leadership election in the Conservatives, which meant a new Prime Minister was appointed. That gave the left the time it needed to form several legal challenges against Brexit, which held up proceedings. Finally, Theresa May triggered Article 50. But now we've got a general election. You've got to remember, Theresa May promised there would be no general election, and she's given the public a general election. And this general election, depending on who gets elected, could again be a massive blow to the Brexit process. And believe me, in that two-year timescale between Article 50 being triggered, formal Brexit proceedings starting, and us leaving the European Union, an awful lot can happen. And I see betrayal on the cards. I definitely do. And I will be completely shocked if we get what we voted for, which is a complete withdrawal from the European Union. Because remember, it isn't in the interests of the bankers, the globalists, and the internationalist clique to let us leave that banker's paradise. They want us locked into that monetary system, because essentially the EU is a Soviet-style redistributionist bloc where the richest countries like Britain, Germany, and France pour billions every year into economies like Greece and Portugal to prop them up. So there's a huge trading bloc which sees massive redistributions of income, and the bankers and the people at the top get rich off that, and that's what they want. And seeing one of the jewels in that European crown just float off into the sunset and do its own thing, I can't see that happening.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, the EU is not the only pan-European organization. There are a lot of organizations and political structures in Europe that Britain's part of. Now, Britain joined the common market in, what, early 1970s under Prime Minister Heath, correct?
Yes, Britain joined the common market in the first week of 1973 under the governance of Prime Minister Edward Heath.
Right. So until then, you had a six-member common market, then Britain joined at the same time as Denmark and Ireland a decade later. So Greece joined, and then another 5 years before Spain and Portugal. And that was it throughout the Cold War. But the Scandinavian countries, I think Switzerland, some other small peripheral countries, were part of a European Free Trade Association that was associated with the common market, but more loosely. And, of course, eventually, after the Berlin Wall fell, the EU just gobbled up more and more countries. I think Tony Blair, in particular, was a proponent of widening the EU rather than deepening it among countries that had more in common with their economy. And so you wound up with this really geographically expansive EU. But there are other structures. So it seems that what you're saying is nominally Britain may withdraw from the EU, but it's going to remain, for instance, in the European Court of Justice. It might be in this European Free Trade Association, if that still exists, or something similar. It's going to be in a lot of the same European structures it's in now. And so it seems that you're not expecting to have a very significant change come out of Brexit, even if there is a formal withdrawal from the EU. But in terms of trade and immigration and also pan-European legislation of sometimes oppressive manner, there's probably not going to be a big change. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And the important thing to remember here, Patrick, is when the British people voted, they voted not to join the European Union. There was no such thing as the European Union. We voted, well, I didn't, I wasn't even born then, but in 1972, the British public voted to join what was known as the common market, which was simply a way to allow European nations to trade easily and to stop trade tariffs and trade blockades between European nations, which obviously the British public supported at the time. It seemed like a good idea. But really, that was just a way of selling something that was far more insidious to the public. And over time, the European Union has grown out of this common market.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from takefromcaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit takefromcaesar.us for more information.
What started as what seemed like a good idea, a good trade agreement, a way to allow goods to freely flow between essentially countries that are a very similar economic level. It's not like allowing cheap goods in from China or Taiwan. You know, Germany trading with Britain isn't isn't a trade that's done on cheap foreign labor. It's a trade that's done on the quality of goods. So it seemed like quite a good, quite a fair idea. But it's completely backfired, because out of that has grown this hugely repressive, bureaucratic redistributionist state, which has brought in all these crazy laws, has its own court of human rights. And when we say human rights, we don't mean human rights. We mean rights for terrorists, rights for refugees, rights for people who shouldn't really have rights, rights for paedophiles to get out of jail early and be housed next to schools and have their identities changed, those kind of human rights. So really, when you look at what's happened here, is the British public never voted to go into the EU. They were hoodwinked into going into the EU because they didn't even vote for that. They voted simply to go into a common market. That's how it was sold. And really, when you see how the European Union has grown, you can see that countries have been tricked into it, but also been bought off into joining. For example, many smaller Eastern European countries are essentially paid to join. Because it's a redistributionist bloc, they give very little in taxes to the EU, but get huge subsidies and bursaries every year, which obviously come out of, you know, German taxpayers' money, British taxpayers' money. And that's how this bloc has come about. The bigger nations were almost tricked into it, and the smaller nations were paid into joining it. And then once it's been erected, now they want a European army, they want their own European air force, and all of a sudden, it is literally morphing in to a Soviet bloc, which is extremely worrying. Mm-hmm. And again, you then see European aggression with Russia, you see tensions with Russia, and you can see almost the development of almost another Cold War, but this time between the European Union and the Russian Federation.
Wow. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I'll just say thank you for having me on, Patrick. It's always a real pleasure coming on and doing these shows with you. If anyone would like to hear more from me, you can follow me on Twitter, you can add me on Facebook. And also, I've got my own small YouTube channel where I upload a podcast every week. And obviously, my book that we spoke about briefly today, The Fall of Western Man, you can download that for free from www.thefallofwesternman.com. And again, that's a free ebook, so go, feel free, download it. And if you like it, share it on social networks or email it to your friends.
And I will second that, by all means. And I follow your weekly podcasts, and I find them a great source of ideas and analysis. Okay, well, I look forward to having you back on again. And until next week, this has been Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio. And if you like these podcasts, please go to nationalbugle.com, click on the donate button, and send us a small contribution.
For you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I can get too. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.